All right, everybody. There's only a few of us today, so who else came on?
Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Good morning.
Good morning. Before I get into my topic today, the big buzz lately is the lawsuit. Does anybody have any questions or anything I can help you with? Because even at the gym this morning, people were pulling me aside. Hey, what's going to happen? I'm like, what? I actually said, with what? I'm like, well, I had no idea what he was talking about at first. And he said, with the lawsuit. Is anybody freaking out about it? Anybody have any questions?
No, it's something to be negotiated up front. That's it.
Yep.
And instead of being put in the MLS, you put in the agent-to-agent remarks.
Right. That really, you're moving the location, and it's going to force you to basically use a document that was created in the early 90s that we should be using anyway, called the BBA, the Buyer Broker Agreement. That's really, if you really narrow it down, that's how it's going to settle out pretty much. So I think it's, to me, when the Buyer Broker Agreement first came out in the early 90s, I started using it right away, because why wouldn't you have a contract? I mean, have a contract with your buyers versus not. It makes no sense not to have one. So.
It's, if I may add, Rick, it is only the three documents that we have to have legal representation for our client. Two of them to represent, two documents to represent the seller, and one document to represent the buyer.
Right. Yep. Yeah, so they're really separating it into two separate, which it really is anyway, always has been. And the part that's misleading, or has been, is that most buyers, even if you don't have a buyer-broker agreement, they just assume you work for them, and you don't. So this forces you to explain it to them, which I think is actually going to be good for the business ultimately, even though it's a change. Nobody likes change. Guys, so here's what I told the guy this morning. His name was Dean. Dean, I've been doing this for 39 years. Do you know how many times, some people have said, okay, the business is coming to an end. It's coming. Okay, the first one was the most devastating to me, which was also about the same time, the early 90s, when the internet came into effect. I had been doing the business, eight years. And I thought, okay, it's been a nice little run. You know, as we fade out into the sunset, what am I going to do next? Because I bought into the hype. Nothing like that has ever happened since I've had my license, right? And what happened? Almost nothing. And then the first wave of commission cutters happened. And I was like, oh, boy. And then a lot of them went out of business. Okay. So if you really follow it, there's always something that's happened. But this is not this is within the business. This is like business practices. This has nothing to do with like E&O and making mistakes. This is a business practice that's going to change slightly. And ultimately, I think it's going to be good for the business. And, you know, it might shake a few people loose, but hey, that's what happens every time a disruption happens, whether it's a disruptor or disruptions. So it's all, it'll all come out, and it's all going to be very similar, except slightly different. All right, anybody else that just came on, have any questions about anything going on I can help you with? We happen to be talking about the lawsuit a little bit. Does anybody have any questions, anything I can help with? Okay, because I'm going to mute you guys now. So if you have a question as I continue, just hit *6 to unmute yourself. Okay, you're officially mutified, just so the recording is nice and clean. Once again, I would say, nothing changes till July. Back to the lawsuit for a second. Nothing changes till July. And Murad said it perfectly. They're just moving where the sub-agency fee was, and it'll be now in agent remarks. You know, it's not a big deal. That probably will change the contract, so there'll be an area for it in the contract. I think California already does. Once again, won't change till July. But if they didn't change the contract, it would probably go into additional provisions or somewhere else, right? So, and you should be spending a few moments explaining to a buyer what a buyer agency agreement means and what fiduciary responsibility means. That's all important stuff, guys. It really is. I know I teach mostly sales, but when it comes to representation and fiduciary responsibility, I think that's a huge part of our business, folks. That's why we go to school. That's why we get licensed. Okay, and you should be explaining the fiduciary responsibility. The other thing I would say is stay informed. Stay informed. Now, I'm not talking about CNN and MSNBC. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your brokers, NAR, you know, all that good stuff. Stay informed so you know what's happening. And as this continues to, you know, because they're saying today that NAR has settled. Well, it hasn't been accepted by the courts yet. It hasn't been accepted by the courts. It doesn't include us, folks. Home Services is still fighting the lawsuit. Everybody else, including NAR, has settled. Well, they're trying to. I don't know if the court's going to let them, but we'll see. They probably will, but I don't know. We don't know until it actually happens. And once again, if it's accepted, nothing changes till July. Okay, and after that, it's pretty much what we just said. You have two separate transactions, and you got to have to do it. So stay informed and adapt. Okay, well, it's always been this way. It doesn't matter. See, it's just the age-old thing, okay? So let's just use – I'm not going to use the percentage. I'm going to use – let's say I buy a house for, $100,000 and the commission's, you know, $1,000. It used to be $500 paid by the seller. Well, it used to be $1,000 paid by the seller because they offered half that commission in buyer agency fee, right? That was the way MLS was. The age-old argument was, well, whose money is it really, the seller or the buyer? Well, without a seller, you don't have a product. Without a buyer, you don't have a purchase. So it's both of theirs. So that was the age-old thing. And then some of these like FHA loans and so forth with minimal down, if you're the buyer agent has, you know, if you have 3% built in for the buyer agent and they're putting 3% down FHA loan, that's 100% loan. That's the way the government looked at it, right? So anyway, all of that's come full circle, but I would just say stay informed, adapt, and then use a buyer broker. Start using it today. Beat the curve, okay? Now, with a low inventory market, there's never been a time easier to explain it and get them to sign it because they want to buy a house. If they want to buy a house, they need to work with one person who's going to give them their all and not just keep calling around and having people show them houses. If you explain this properly, this is definitely an asset to you. I know that when I explained it, it always ended up being beneficial. And a lot of them would say to me, well, I just assumed you worked for me anyway. I know. That's why it's important we go through this because unless you sign this, I don't. No, I look at you. You owe them honesty and professionalism, but not a fiduciary relationship. Totally different. Okay? So stay informed, adapt. I would also say it's, you know, there's never been a time for you to really get crazy about technology, you know, because I think, you know, the, and I'm not talking about just social media. I'm talking about, you know, our CRM, our tools, everything. Stay up with technology because I think it's going to be very helpful as we move forward, and including AI. Okay, I used AI this morning. I used ChatGPT to explain something a little better. You know, I like it because it explains it differently than I would. So I just kind of adapt and I'm making, you know, myself a little bit more versatile by explaining things different ways now and using ChatGPT to do it. Okay, there's also another one I use called Opus Clip. Opus Clip will take like, you know, like the, let's say I do a Facebook Live video. You feed that into Opus Clip and give it a topic. It comes up with, you know, I don't know, I put in a 20-minute video and it came up with, I think, 11 30 or 45-second clips. It cuts them all up for you. It goes through. I don't know how it does it, but it's pretty magical. I like saving time. So AI will do that for you. Okay, so embrace technology. It's not bad. It's good. AI will be very helpful for us. It's not going to be computers that come and take over the world and then kill all the humans. That wasn't that a movie? I think it was a movie. All right, so don't worry about that. So in coupled with that, make sure your online presence looks like you're on top of it. You know, I mean, that's why I got involved with social media years ago. Somebody told me you look like a dinosaur because you have nothing going on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. And I was like, wow, I didn't like the way that sounded. So, and especially if you're my age or older, you definitely have to embrace it because if you look a little older and you act a little older, you know, you're not going to get any business with people younger than you. You got it. You know, social media today is your calling card. It's your, resume, I would say. All right, so make sure you have a decent presence, because people will look you up. I can't tell you how many people have seen my stuff on social media or YouTube before they've even met me. All right, so it's amazing today. You can really do a deep dive on somebody by just using. So embrace technology, build and stay, and have an online presence consistently. Stay informed and adapt. All right, I would also say there's never been a better time to get really good at communicating. And that means relationships, client relationships, family relationships, all your relationships. I think they're big. I mean, of course, that's why we, are human. That's why we have contact. That's why we have families and friends. Your relationship. Same with your clients. There's a way, I believe personally, as someone who was not good at listening and communicating at first, I had to work on it. So that's why I did a lot of NLP training. And I really, a lot of it is unnecessary, but the part that matters most is open-ended questions, repeat, approve, ask the next question with energy and enthusiasm. If you can get into that little groove, you want to repeat so they know you're paying attention. Approve, yay, we're on the same page, right? And then ask your next question. And it's always better to have your client do most of the talking, because it's not about you, it's about them. And by the way, if you do that, you never have to tell them you're number one or five, or I'm in the top 1%, or I'm able to leave small buildings with a single bound. You don't have to tell them any of that, because they don't care. Because the old saying, I don't care how much you know till I know how much you care, is 100% true in today's world, especially in a world where everybody is trying hard not to verbally communicate. Okay, because, of everything we just mentioned, including email and texting. I think we have and COVID really exaggerated it. I think we have a younger generation that is really socially handicapped slightly, because they're not looking to communicate with each other. It's all by text, and then they do the broken English text, So you, especially if you're younger today, you have the ability to communicate with people, look them in the eye, talk to them. Okay, you have a tremendous advantage. I tell all my kids that. If you work hard, you're not looking for a free ride, or you're not looking to cut any corners, and you get good grades and do really well, and look people in the eye, talk to everybody. I mean, you have a tremendous advantage today, because everybody's trying to avoid that. For some reason, I don't know why. I have no idea why. It doesn't make any sense, especially in real estate, where the reason we're here is because we can communicate with people. All right? It's not like I'm buying, golf balls on Amazon. Yeah, it's easier to go on Amazon. I buy, you can get discounts, right? It's not the same. You're buying a house. You're selling a house. It requires human interaction, at least for the time being. I think forever, and the same with you go to a doctor. Yeah, okay, you can do a telemedicine, right? But they eventually want to see you, right? Same, it's the same thing. Like my training, I can do it on Google Meets. It's better live. Everything is better live, okay? Because remember, 55% of communication is your body language and your facial expressions. 55%. Think about that. That means over the phone, even on the video, you can see it a little bit, right? But especially with social media, you can see a lot, because the cameras are so good today, and the recordings are so well that it's almost like being there. But like Google Meets, where they're only seeing your head talking, I don't think it's the same. It's good. It's definitely better than nothing, but it's not quite the same. All right, and then I would say here, invest and continue to learn. Invest in yourself. Everybody you listen to, all the big, trainers and everything will tell you should be investing in yourself. The number one, and Warren Buffett says that, you should be investing in yourself. The number one asset you have is you. Could you think about this? What would you cost to build? First off, they can't do it, so you're priceless. Remember that. The human mind, the way we can function and communicate and operate, they still have nowhere near. They're getting closer, but they're still leaps and bounds away. So as a asset, you have a tremendous value just being alive. And then you could even go into, you know, what are the odds of you actually ever being alive? Almost zero. You know, you had to win the swimming contest first. You won it over millions and millions of others, right? So if you look, if you just look at the fact that you're healthy, you can communicate, it's amazing statistically if you think about it. I remind myself, anytime I start to feel bad or try to, I remind myself of everything you have or we have to be grateful for. It's amazing. Our business is going to change slightly. Yay, probably needed to. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. All right. The people that are committed to their craft will make the adjustment and find the advantages in it. And the people that aren't, some of them will drop out and some of them will complain until they have to drop out because they won't make any money. It's really not a big deal what the change is. They've moved the location of how you get paid as a buyer agent. Now, will some sellers try to renegotiate? Of course. You can just explain to them why that would not be a good idea. Well, I can pay less commission, and you can also make less money. Now, you can do that. You want so your only concern is what your commission is, or is it how much you net? Well, aren't they the same? No, they're not. They have very little in common, actually. All right, so run your stats. Know your numbers. Compare yourself to the average in MLS or one of these commission-cutting companies. All right, if you're in California and Arizona, you can do it yourself. If you're in Nevada, you might need your broker to help you because, you know, and for some reason in Nevada, we don't have the same metrics in our MLS, but all our brokers have access to it. Okay, how about any questions so far? Any questions? That's pretty much what I wanted to cover today. I will review if no one has any questions. Hit *6 so I can hear you. *6, that's the left bottom. Not the hash sign, but the *6, and I'll be able to hear you if you have a question or a comment.
Hi, Rick. Good morning. Hey, Darren here.
Hey, Darren.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. Hey, so going back to the explanation of the buyer-broker agreement, what was your, like, quickest and simplest way you would do that?
Great question. Okay, so I just make it part of the process. Just like we do, you know how you do a listing? You just start pulling the forms out, and that's how I did it with a buyer. I'm like, okay, so, and now you have the perfect excuse. You can use a lawsuit. Okay, well, you know, since this lawsuit now, here's how we have to do things. You know, you could actually even say that if you wanted to. I wouldn't, but you could. You know, you have an excuse. And then you say, we're separating the transactions, and we have to have, this is how you buy a property today. The first step is, you know, I would say, I need to know exactly what you're looking for. You know, and this is exactly how I used to do it. Let's say you came to my open house, all right? You come to my open house. Okay. I'm following up with you. Finally, you go, yes, Rick, we would love to have you help us buy a house. Excellent. Okay Darren, right. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to send me an email. I need you and your wife to sit down and think about this, all right? And I want you guys to send me an email. Okay, and since I know you, I'd say, and even involve the little guy, if he has any input, make sure he has his input.
right,
Luke, make sure he knows. You know, and then give us everything you're looking for and everything you don't want. I want both. I want what you want, and I want what you don't want in the house. Okay, sound fair?
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Darren, I'm going to send you two forms. Okay, one is a form called Duties Owed. It explains agency per the state of Nevada. And the second one is the buyer broker agreement. That's how you hire me to help you buy a house. So I need you to just read those. If you have any questions, I need them both signed and sent back. I'm going to send you the, you know, what do you call that, e-sign. And if you have any questions while you pull them up, just call me, and I'll be happy to go over them with you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then the third step is you just need to know, you let me know when you're available, because I'm not going to send you stuff. You're going to tell me what you want, because we have a shortage of inventory, and you guys just need to be accessible. As a matter of fact, Darren, I would talk to your employer, talk to your wife, make sure that you guys are available. Like if I called you at noon and you needed to see something by 4 that day, now this won't last long, a couple weeks, but we'll have a house for you. Talk to your employer, you know, so if you need to be, you need to be accessible, just like the homes need to be accessible to sell, you need to be accessible to go see them. That sound fair?
Right.
Okay, great.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Well, and don't forget, I would start the whole thing by getting you qualified by Prosperity. But other than that, it's exactly
the same. Of course, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, not even going to do anything until I see that pre-approval.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
That's it, right, man. So. That's my presentation in a nutshell.
And that's good. And this is how you hire me, by signing the buyer
right.
broker agreement.
That's exactly
okay.
right, because you have to hire me.
And
we
then
create a fiduciary responsibility.
I missed the very, very beginning of the call where you said they're just going to change positions of where they put what the seller is offering the buyer. Is that how
yeah.
that's going to go instead of a co-op?
Right.
It's going to be lifted somewhere else. That
agent to agent remarks.
Agent to agent remarks. Okay.
Yes.
And so I don't need to put in a dollar amount on the buyer broker agreement. Is that correct? Like, say, okay, if the seller, you know, here's my commission, 3%.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't
right.
pay me 3%, you guys are going to have to make up the other 1% at closing, is or something like that. Is that how that's going to go?
Yeah.
Or
okay,
is
so
that
this,
even,
okay,
am I
so
even
that,
close?
That's a great question. Okay, that's a great question. So this is the way I would try to do it at first. So let's say you're the listing agent. Darren, hey, Darren, I want to show your house over on 123 Oak Street. You're offering a 2%. I have a 3% buyer broker agreement. Could you do me a huge favor? Well, first off, would you pay 3% on my buyer? Right? If he says, well, I don't know. Fine. If you could ask the seller. Right? So I would try that. Why not? You know, I mean, it doesn't work
okay.
all the time, but sometimes it does. Right? So
okay.
no. Well, the seller's only agreed to 2%. Okay, fine. Well, you're also going to have an area. Like I can add that in. Like, okay, so I make an offer. Right, I know I'm getting 2. Okay, so now I need that 1% from the seller. You can always try in your offer to get the seller to make up that 1%. You can try as part of your offer, or you can negotiate with the buyer and say, you know, you'll have a 1% fee over and above my 2% as part of your closing costs. You can do it either way.
Okay, so then the lender would have to know about that so they could work that 1% into their loan.
Right.
Or that's another 1% of money out of their down payment or something like
yes.
that, right?
That's the easiest way to do it, honestly.
Okay.
You know? And then because I know people are thinking this, let's say it's 2.5. Let's say it's 2.5 and I have a contract for 3. And I love these people and I've done multiple deals and I decide, 2.5 is good enough. I just don't say anything. And I tell them, don't worry about the 0.5%. You know, I'm going to eat it. It's fine. So
right.
that's another option that you could do.
If, yeah, they're a multiple repeat customer, you know,
yeah.
I don't want to lose their business. You know, they've given me 3 of their friends already, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's kind of like you put the 3% in there because some of them are going to be 3, right? And then you can always negotiate down but it's really tough to negotiate up. So I would definitely start with 3, like you just said.
Right.
And then you can negotiate it if you want to. It'll be in
okay.
the, I think California already has it. A place for it in their contract. I'm sure Nevada is going to do the same, and Arizona will as well. You know, because it's going to be part of the transaction now. So since they've moved the location of the fee, and some sellers will pay none, so it'll be totally part of the negotiation.
Right. And that's so yeah. So the seller, so there'd be no co-op offered whatsoever for the sale of the house. So it's strictly on the buyer.
Well.
Exactly.
Well, yes and no. You can do it that way. I wouldn't, but that's an option. Yes. I mean, a lot of these people, like no names mentioned, you know who I'm talking about. They're already saying, I list your house for, you know, 0.0111%. And they're really
right.
not, they're really lying to you because they're going to pay
so,
2.5 to a co. So those people, they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to put it in agent to agent remarks. Right. But there are some people, you know, to me that, it's going to make it easy to take a 3% listing because the seller's paying a 3%, but which is misleading because you know the buyer agent's going to come up and negotiate their fee. So why not just make your listing more attractive, okay, by having that in there?
Right. Yeah, that
right.
I mean, that
so,
makes sense to me for sure.
This is where the salesmanship's going to come in. This is kind of like what I like about this whole thing is that it's going to be people who are going to figure it out and become better salespeople because of it. And some people are going to go home and, you know, decide to do something else.
Okay.
Yeah.
But great
questions.
Great questions. And the last, real quick, the original, sure. I've never heard it, the original reason for this lawsuit, did somebody actually do something wrong? What was the original reason for all this rigmarole that we're hearing about? Was there...
That they brought it up in Missouri. No, I'm sorry. The original part of the lawsuit is conspiracy, that real estate agents conspired to keep commissions at 6%, which is just a lie. That's why I'm surprised NAR settling, because it makes more sense to get a bond and go to appeal, because you know you have a jury of eight or whatever it was, 8 or 12 people, whatever, I can't remember what the number of jurors were, and they deliberated for an hour and came back with a conspiracy count in $1.9 billion. It's teed up so well for to be overturned on, you know, appeal, that I don't know why.
Yeah.
Although a $1.9 billion bond's very expensive, so maybe that's why.
Yeah. Oh, well, it always comes down to money, but that's what I thought. I just didn't hear the actual answer, and anyways, I don't know. I shake my head.
So that's it. So they were found. So major companies in Missouri were found guilty of conspiring to keep commissions at 6%, which is a lie, because we know we have companies that'll do it for one, or they advertise that. So right. I don't know how they got it wasn't defended well. Because it was so ridiculous that no one took it seriously, I think. And then
so
they got a judgment.
Just pulled that out of thin air and said, you know what, we're gonna just file this lawsuit.
It was. You got to understand something. There are very, very educated, mischievously good attorneys that put together class action lawsuits. You ever watch TV and go, if you've ever walked by a street, you know, and you know,
right.
If you ever had a breeze in your face and now you have cancer, call this number, right? So,
right. Or you get those little white cards.
There's these lawyers out there, yeah, creating these, you know, class action lawsuits and winning.
How much money can we get?
Right. Exactly right.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. The world we live in, though, not a surprise. Not a surprise at all.
Right. It's kind of crazy.
Everything we've seen, I'm not shocked.
Yeah. Right.
If I may interject also.
What's that?
I said, if I may interject, add a little something.
Yes, absolutely.
So the same way like we negotiate for a contribution closing clause cost to the other part, to the buyer, or contribution for home warranty or anything that matter. Now we're going to just ask for contribution towards commission. It's the same thing.
Right.
We want to get paid. If you guys don't want to pay, hey, we put another deal, I'm getting paid more there. You can make a decision.
Right.
And yeah, there's always a bottom line.
Yeah. I've been doing this for 39 years. So I agree with you 100%, but the reason it hadn't been done like that in the past is the argument is, well, now you put your buyer at a disadvantage, making commissions part of the negotiations. But now the government has said, we don't care about that. We want it in. So we'll see how that works out.
Right. It will work out.
So, yeah, I know. No, I have no problem with it at all. I have no problem with it at all. But I'm just telling you why it hasn't been introduced like that in the past, and that's exactly why. But now, apparently, they don't care about that anymore. Now they're moving on to two separate parts of the transactions, negotiated separately, which will happen sometimes, and sometimes it'll be like built in. So six of one, half a dozen of the other. All right, guys, I got to fly. Keep it rocking. If you need me, call me anytime.
Have a great day. Thank you, Rick.
You too. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.